This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. Pete Zimmerman's the producer. Hi, it's John Williams, and let's go all the way till 1 o'clock with two things then, the Wintrust Business Lunch and our usual Wednesday fare of personal and big business finance talk. We'll also occasionally dip into what is happening in the Congress right now as the electoral votes are being cast, literally as ballots are being opened and recorded, making sure that they are regular and authentic. Alabama has cast its 9 electoral votes for President Trump. Alaska has the tally on the big board right now is Trump with 12 votes and Biden with 0.
The event state reporting to appoint or ascertain electors.
Mike Pence and Nancy Pelosi are at the front. Nancy Pelosi's had her mask on. Mike Pence has two. Mr. Pence takes his off to speak.
Mr. President, the certificate of the electoral vote of the state of Arizona seems to be regular in form and authentic, and it appears therefrom that Joseph R. Biden Jr. of the state of Delaware received 11 votes for president, and Kamala D. Harris of the state of California.
Senator Amy Klobuchar is speaking right now.
For vice president.
Are there any objections to counting the certificate of vote of the state of Arizona that the teller has verified appears to be regular in form and authentic?
This would be one of the states.
Hi, Paul Gosar from Arizona.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Arizona rise?
I rise up for myself and 60 of my colleagues to object to the counting of the electoral ballots from Arizona.
Is the objection in writing and signed by a senator?
Yes, it is.
An objection presented in writing and signed by both a representative and a senator complies with the law, Chapter 1 of Title 3 of the United States Code. The clerk will report the objection.
Senators rose, applauded, now they're sitting back down.
Objection to counting the electoral votes of the state of Arizona. We, a member of the House of Representatives.
Arizona represents 11 electoral votes, and now they'll read their objection, and then as many as 2 hours can be reserved for debate about this. So we'll continue to monitor that. There are 6 states that will probably be objected to. It could take 12 hours. We were told earlier by Joe Khalil, the News Nation Washington correspondent. We'll continue to follow that in the newsroom and dial in on that on occasion here on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Terry Savage is listening to all of this as well. She joins us on Wednesdays. Hi, Terry. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Well, this will be prolonged, but the stock market doesn't seem worried, with the Dow up 600 points on the prospects of more stimulus if the Democrats control Congress. The President Biden is officially elected, and all kinds of infrastructure projects and perhaps even tax cuts. So the stock market is up at new record highs, as we heard, now up 595, almost to 31,000. Astounding. Astounding.
You talked to Senator Durbin about that, and I said, should we be worried that if Democrats control everything, that we're going to have too much spending, too many taxes to pay for them, that the market might like this because dollars will be spent in 2021, but maybe in the long run this isn't all good that way, Terry?
Oh, I missed the senator's response. What did he say?
Hold on a second. So now the senators have risen, and it looks like they and other members of the House, 100 of them, will actually walk out. They are now queuing up and walking down the center aisle and leaving the chambers. least that's what it appears, or maybe they're breaking to debate somewhere, but they're exiting the premises. There goes Mitch McConnell, mask on, walking out with others. So that's where they are in Washington right now.
Yeah, they're not walking out because they're angry. They're walking out because each party goes to its own meeting room and discusses it and has a vote on this proposal by Arizona, or this objection by Arizona. And as you pointed out, there are probably another six states that will raise objections, leading to a caucus of that state's party in a, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans, of all of the Congress, the Democrats and the Republicans. Then there'll be a vote. But even if, for some reason, those objections are upheld, that wouldn't be enough to derail the ultimate naming of Joe Biden as the next president of the United States.
Go back to my question, though, Terry, because I think you were distracted a little bit by the proceedings in the Congress, and that is, should we be worried? You say the market likes what's happened here, but I wonder if...
It likes money.
Yeah, but $30 trillion is not a good number. Shouldn't that weigh on somebody?
Let's point this out. First of all, there's a very real possibility, and even the IRS acknowledged that, that in addition to the $600 that was announced as a stimulus, the next Congress, depending on how it breaks in Georgia and so forth, could authorize a $2,000 stimulus. Remember, both the current sitting senators from Georgia and their opponents, who look like they may have gained victory, all applauded the idea of a $2,000 stimulus. So there, you could see a steamroll of, hey, we gave out this many billions, what's another billion? As Ev Dirksen used to say, a billion here, a billion there. Pretty soon you're talking real money. Well, we're up to $30 trillion in the national debt, and nobody seems to care about that except for one thing, the bond market. This so sounds like, oh, my God, how does she find even the bond market? The U.S. Treasury bond market trades every day in the zillions of dollars. And for the first time in maybe, I can't even remember how long, the yield on the 10-year Treasury, which, by the way, is used as the basis for your mortgage rates, it went up over 1%. It's currently 1.04%. Now, that's, you know, remember back in 1980, the yields were like 15 or 16%. So it's not like 1.04% is such a landmark, except that it does show that around the world, those who buy and invest in U.S. government securities, including foreign central banks, are going, you know, you're borrowing all this money, you're printing all this new money, a new administration may give out all this money. That's good for the stock market. Perhaps it might be good for the economy as businesses could, you know, use it and reopen. But we don't want to lend to you at 0.79%, 0.79. You're going to have to pay us more interest. We're worried about inflation. And so that's a word you haven't heard. It's just lingering on the horizon. And so while we may not be worried and the Congress might not be worried and both parties might not be worried about sending out more money, and where in the short term that more money might do a lot of good for a lot of people, in the longer term, the bond market is looking at the possibility.
Terry Savage on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Our number's 312-981-7200. Here's your chance to call or text your questions or comments, your observations. Terry, when we come back from a quick break here, I'm going to ask you about what somebody asked me about earlier today. Previously, $1,200, they got the full stimulus check. This time they reduced $600. They got a little over $300. How is it that somebody who earned less than $75,000 is only getting a deposit into their account of $300 from the Federal Treasury? Can you help some folks out with that? We've been following what's been happening in the Congress as the votes are being opened. President Trump, 12 electoral votes. Joe Biden, zero. They got to Arizona. The president was also giving a rally speech, the Stop the Steal rally speech a moment ago. Ryan Burrow, WGN Radio News Director, just popped into the studio to sort of update us on where all of these things are.
Yeah, so three things going on. First, the president's speech, which has wrapped up, although he's vowed to join these demonstrators at the Capitol very soon. Number two, the rally and demonstration is moving toward the U.S. Capitol for this event that's going on inside of the chambers. A joint session, it is broken off right now. Each of the two legislative bodies have moved into their respective chambers for this objection to Arizona. Arizona is the first swing state that has come up. There was an objection. Both sides break off to their chambers. They debate it. Could take a little bit of time. Then they come back and, in theory, certify and move on to the next state.
Okay, keep monitoring that. Yep. Thank you. Ryan Burrow in the WGN Radio Newsroom. More news in about 6 or 7 minutes. Terry Savage will be with us for another 25 minutes. Let's go back to Terry. And Terry, lots of calls, as always, for you on the financial side. Can you take some with us?
Be delighted to. But first, let me set that up by answering the question where you went to break. People who make a bunch of categories. Regarding the second stimulus, people who haven't received it yet. I talked to the IRS this morning and made a whole list. Number one, they're required to get these stimulus payments out by January 15th. So they have your direct deposit information. That's where it went. I'll come back to the bouncing checks. The other thing is they've mailed checks out, and if you don't get it by the 15th, that's not their problem. They blame that on the post office, but they expect to have everything out by January 15th. Now, for the people who didn't get, who had a closed account, the one they used for the last stimulus or the last tax return is closed, the bank cannot deposit it in your new account. They have to send that back to the IRS, which will not send it back to you. I'll tell you what you're going to do. You fall in this category. The other thing you mentioned, someone who thought they should get $600, earned under $75,000 and got a smaller amount. Number three, someone who didn't get a stimulus check at all by the time you file your 2020 return. And number four, anybody who thinks that based on your 2020 income, you should have still gotten that original $1,200 stimulus check, but darn it, they looked at your 2018 return before you were fired and lost your job. But in 2020, you're really under the limits of $75,000 individual or $150,000 on a joint return. All of you file in the category, or someone that just got missed completely, never signed up for it, never filed a tax return, doesn't get Social Security, and just missed out on the first one and this one, all of you will file a 2020 return in the next few weeks, and you will look for line 30. And if you think you've been shorted on your stimulus, it bounced because your account was closed, you didn't get a stimulus at all this time or the first time around, you can file for a refundable tax credit. Put it in on line 30, and then file the 2020 return. I mean, you know, we were all going to do it by April 15th. You'll start doing it in February. File it electronically and include your direct deposit information for your bank, and you will get that money back. Even if you weren't required because you have low income to file, if you didn't get the stimulus, file a return. Fill in line 30. They will send you the money, and you should do it direct deposit. So I think that'll preempt a lot of questions out there.
Just wiped out my whole show. What, are you kidding me? Then I got nothing to talk about.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of news breaking, so just in case I didn't get it out, that's the key point. It's coming now. If you don't get it, you can still get it. If you didn't get it the first time, you could still get it. If your 18-year-old, you know, on your 2020 return was a dependent, just graduated from college, or has a job, don't declare that person as a dependent this year on 2020. Let him or her file his own return. Claim the original stimulus for $1,200 and the current $600.
Okay, let's pick up some more phone lines now. 312-981-7200. We'll start with Judy. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Judy.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about unemployment. I applied for unemployment a year ago, December, when I lost my job, and then I wasn't able to find a job because of the pandemic. I received a letter Friday saying that I was never eligible, and now they want the entire year's worth back.
How much are we talking?
You got unemployment benefits.
You're talking $26,000.
Okay, calm down, relax, and wait. I can understand how frightening that is. Let me back up. Did you file under the self-employment portion of Illinois unemployment benefits?
No.
No, you filed in traditional unemployment. Well, this is happening particularly to a lot of people who filed PUA, that self-employment program, and to others as well. If there's one thing we all know, it's that the state of Illinois is totally messed up in the unemployment department. I want to mention that I'm just looking through my email because I just sent an email to Rebecca Sisco, who seems to be answering emails but not mine lately, that the state of Illinois has been clawing back PUA benefits, self-employed benefits.
Really?
Saying they miscalculated. And the new stimulus law says, hey, states, just get together with us in federal government. You don't have to claw those back anymore. I've asked three times whether they're going to stop sending out letters demanding repayment of benefits. Yours is a traditional unemployment. You will have to file for a hearing. And this is going to take a long time. In the meantime, I know they are. Are you still receiving benefits? Probably not.
No, I went back to work 2 months ago.
Okay. So the only thing they can do is attack any Illinois tax refund. They'll have to go to court to do that. You'll have to have a hearing, first of all, with unemployment. And as long as you have your documentation that you were laid off, you were unemployed, you couldn't find another job, you should probably win that hearing. But it's going to take a while. But in the meantime, you're going, oh, my God, they aren't coming in to garnish your checking account, your money market account, so don't take the money out and put it under your pillow. It's just going to be a mess for you for a long time.
A lot of people are going through something like that, but I think that sounds good. Okay, good luck to you, Judy. Joint session, some of the speakers' voices you will recognize.
Requires a shared commitment to the truth and a shared respect for the ground rules of our system.
Mr. McConnell, obviously speaking, I'm not exactly clear where they are because the members of the Congress broke off into their respective chambers, and there they were evidently going to sort of debate the wisdom of the Arizona challenge. So the tally is 12-0 right now in favor of the president over Joe Biden early in alphabetical order. But I do see Mitch McConnell on TV. We were listening to a little of him there. Jim Jordan spoke a moment ago, and I heard Jim Jordan's voice also from Ohio railing against the integrity of the election. We'll continue to monitor this here, but expect it to take most of the day. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Terry Savage is joining us. Terry, I'm having a little trouble keeping track of exactly what's going on there right now.
Well, Nancy Pelosi stood up and said that she's going to give 5 minutes to each side to present their arguments in public. And so the most amazing thing, you know, I graduated with a degree in American civilization, American studies. I think that's probably one of the most incredible things I've witnessed in my lifetime, including the resignation of President Nixon, including every political strange thing that's happened. You have Mitch McConnell giving an impassioned speech that for the sake of our democracy, this challenge must be turned back, that otherwise every 4 years we would have a political scramble, and, quote, it would be a, quote, death spiral for democracy to overturn both the will of the people and the will of the Electoral College. It's really interesting because, forget where you land on the political score, Mitch McConnell has been the forefront of the Republican rushing the Supreme Court justice nomination through when they couldn't get a stimulus bill through, et cetera, et cetera. But he has put on his oath of office and statesman hat. That doesn't mean he's going to be my best buddy or anybody else's best buddy, but he is sternly lecturing all, during his five-minute allowed talk, all of the Republicans that they shouldn't be doing this. So that's what's going on right now.
Yeah.
It will presumably go on for a while, and they've decided to make this public on the Senate floor, I guess, is what happened. I don't think we were expecting that. We expected two side meetings, but each side is speaking for 5 minutes.
So Mitch McConnell is dismissing the challenge. Go ahead.
Yeah, and while that's and so what you have is a fracture here. I don't want to turn into your political analyst from a partisan point of view, but what you're seeing here is a serious fracture in the Republican Party between the 13, it is, senators who vowed that they would vote, they want to present these objections and are presenting them. And between Mitch McConnell, who was always the president's, right parallel person handling the Congress and refusing to let bills through and all kinds of things that he was very closely aligned with the president, now making a very public, serious, and impassioned break with the president and advising his fellow Republicans to stop this. So that won't happen, of course, but very interesting historical moment going on.
Really thin basis. And I will not pretend such a vote would be a harmless protest gesture while relying on others to do the right thing.
Mitch McConnell on the floor, as Terry said. Let's take a couple calls. We're talking about your finances as well, and the probability of another stimulus check coming down the pipe. Somebody mentioned a moment ago, in fact, Terry, let's just talk to Jane on line five. Jane had a question. You're on WGN. This is the kind of question I think, Jane, we used to get before the pandemic, before everybody was worrying about unemployment benefits. What's your question?
Well, we're getting older, and we lived very frugally, so we're very lucky to be in this position. We are in our early 60s, and we have a substantial amount in the bank. We're looking for just a low-risk place to put it.
How much are you willing to lose, Jane?
Well, like I said, we're in our early 60s, so we're, you know, kind of set up, but like I said, it's a substantial amount.
You don't have to come up with a percentage, but that's what I always ask when people say, well, we want to earn some more. Because we're living in a very unusual time. I'm not sure how long that will last, in which the Fed has managed to push short-term interest rates down. They've announced it. They've re-announced it. They say this is important to keep the economy going and so forth. And so savers are being punished. You know, inflation is maybe 1.5%, but you're getting nothing in the bank.
Right.
I call that chicken money. And this is a perfect time at your age to now meet with a fiduciary, fee-only financial planner to take a look at what's ahead. But if you lock your money up right now for 2% in some other kind of investment, you could likely see, and I think as I wrote in my New Year's letter, which is posted at terrysavage.com, inflation down the road, they're going to print all this money. The rest of the world is going to go, oh, we're going to charge you more to lend you money. Interest rates could go up, and that could get quickly out of the Fed's control, not this month, next month, or so forth, but down the road. So you need a balance. You need to keep up with inflation. Stocks have done that over the long run. Every 20-year period, they've beaten inflation on a diversified portfolio with dividends included. So this is a moment when I just don't say to you, well, you could get, you know, 2.5% in an equity income fund or so forth. This is a moment where you sit down and think, how are we going to live in retirement? How much money are we going to have coming in automatically from Social Security if we wait till full retirement age? How much do we have to think about spending on health insurance aside from even Medicare? How do we plan for the long run? This is not a decision, and you won't lose any money today leaving it in the bank. At terrysavage.com, I'm impressed with a group called Wealth Ramp. It's a link to a kind of a questionnaire where you can be connected with a fee-only fiduciary financial planner, so someone who puts your interests first. And I get nothing out of that. I just thought I should put a link up there. Mm-hmm. And you can do the quiz and meet with several financial planners that are not trying to sell you something by any means. And this is the perfect sweet spot in your life to make that commitment to looking at the picture, not just for your investments tomorrow.
But I'll bet Jane feels foolish sitting there with a substantial amount of money losing traction in a checking account. I mean, right, Jane? You think?
Oh, Jane, you know what? Move it into the money market deposit account. Not that you'll get very much, but if you feel foolish having chicken money, count me as a fool with you. My son laughs at me. What's all that chicken money? I buy treasury bills direct from the government. They pay next to nothing. But the chicken money investor mantra is, I'm not so concerned about the return on my money as I am about the return of my money.
But move it
into the money market account at the bank. Go to Terry Savage and search my columns for chicken money, show you how to buy treasury bills, how to get the highest CD rates that are insured. I mean, you can maybe move it up by 0.5%, but I'm talking about getting a bigger return. You're going to have more risk, and you're not quite sure what those risks are.
Listen, I'm not the expert Terry is, but I'm just going to advocate for our caller here, and that is, she probably has 30-plus more years of need for income, for money. So just sitting on that money is not going to be – why not an index fund? Why not something that will ride the market
because
for
them? That's the – congratulations, you've read my book. That's the point of having a plan, of sorting out which money can you successfully invest. You know, well, I'm going to make this point. I used to make it all the time. There's never been a 10-year period – where you lost money in a diversified portfolio of large company American stocks with dividends reinvested, even adjusted for inflation. No 20-year period going back to 1926, so 100 years. So if you're not going to get scared out when the market crashes, and you are going to sit with a S&P 500 index fund in your IRA, and you've got a 30, 35-year time horizon, absolutely a portion of your money belongs in stocks. But you don't go running around saying, I've got a whole lot of money. Where do I put it now to get a higher yield? Because you can get locked into something that could be very costly for you if and when rates rise.
Yeah.
That's why you need a big picture look.
Yeah. What an interesting call. Good luck to you, Jane. Nice problem to have.
Oh, thank you.
Have a good day. We're out of time, Terry, but I'm glad you took the time to sort of lay that out, because hopefully more people down the road will be in that position. And
that's
next
cool.
Wednesday, we'll take more time for the normal raft of calls, but I think it was an interesting day today.
Interesting. Thanks for having me on again, John.
That's Terry Savage, and you're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
What message will we send today?
Chuck Schumer.
To our people, to the world that has so looked up to us for centuries.
Echoing what Mitch McConnell was saying, lecturing his fellow senators to push back on the objection to the electors' votes. We'll keep following that on the Wintrust Business Lunch, and we've got more business news now in the WGN Radio Newsroom. This is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. Macy's is closing its flagship store inside Chicago's Water Tower Place. It'll end Macy's 45-year run inside the Vertical Mall on Michigan Avenue as the company downsizes and cuts thousands of jobs. Macy's calls the decision a difficult one and says the opportunity to serve customers there has been an honor. It has been the anchor store since Marshall Field's pulled out in 2006. Clearance sales will precede the closing. Those sales are expected to last up to 4 months, starting sometime later this month. Walgreens Boots Alliance will sell its pharmaceutical wholesale business to AmerisourceBergen in a $6.5 billion cash and stock deal. Pharmaceutical wholesalers essentially act as middlemen, purchasing drugs from manufacturers and then distributing them to customers like drugstore chains. Walgreens says it will now have the flexibility to invest in and focus on its retail business, which, like others, has been rattled by the COVID-19 pandemic. Under the deal, AmerisourceBergen will pay nearly $6.3 billion in cash and 2 million shares of its common stock for Walgreens Alliance Healthcare business. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Ted Cruz is speaking on the House floor now, or the Senate.
And a great many of us don't believe that. On the other hand, most, if not all of us, believe we should not set aside the results of an election just because our candidate may not have prevailed. And so I endeavored to look for door number three, a third option, and for that I look to history, to the precedent of the 1876 election.
This is his pitch for five from the House, five from the Senate, five from the Supreme Court, forming a sort of committee that will review the complaints by Republicans and the president over the results of the election. It would be a maybe two-week pause. Senator Ted Cruz making that pitch on the floor right now. So far, the voting has stopped at Arizona, and all of the electoral votes so far have gone to President Trump. Kenny Tsai joins us on the Wintrust Business Lunch. More news coming in 7 minutes here on WGN. So just a few minutes with you today, Kenny, but thanks for joining us. The COO of ChowBus. Visit chowbus.com. How are you, Kenny?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
You guys had a good year, did you or did you not?
We did. We saw a lot of growth this year, the catalyst being obviously COVID. But we did have a good year, and we raised some money as well. I believe Winchin was on the call a few weeks back.
Right. And, you know, when you say you had a good year, nobody had a good year. It was a year of a pandemic. But it did sort of change the way we get food. And there you guys were, the darling of the food delivery business. And you were in the right place at the right time. I was kind of chuckling at some of the metrics. You guys were able to sort of tweeze out what people ordered, when people ordered, what were the popular food items. What are some of the numbers that jumped out at you from 2020?
Sure, yeah. There's definitely some interesting numbers. We saw, for example, food orders during lunch over doubling. Obviously, that's due to people working from home versus working from their office. Order sizes also grew 25%. So people were eating more, whether that's because they were, you know, living with people, and so they ordered more, or they were stress eating, or something like that. But we also saw orders increase as well.
Yeah. And then, well, I'm just looking at your list here, and this is what made me laugh, because in January, fatty sliced beef was the most popular grocery ingredient delivered to Chow Bus shoppers. In February, fatty sliced beef, and I'm thinking, yeah, that sounds pretty good right now. In March, Napa cabbage. In April, spare ribs. But it's a delicious sounding menu of options there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think looking at those ingredients, a lot of folks that are shopping grocery through Chow Bus, which, as you mentioned, you can order meal delivery from restaurants, or you can order groceries from Chow Bus as well. It seems like a lot of them are making what's called hot pot, a pretty traditional kind of, I guess you could call it fondue, but it's a nice herbal broth or a spicy broth or a tomato-based broth that you can choose. And within the broth, you kind of cook raw vegetables, raw fatty sliced beef, as you mentioned, and different types of ingredients. So it seems like that's the popular item that people are shopping for.
The average order price per order was just under $40. The largest order was $2,800. One last thing. Do you see 2021 being different for you? I wonder if this sort of upswing in interest in Chow Bus is predicated on the pandemic, and as that fades, maybe you guys will have a downturn. What do you predict for you all for 2021?
Yeah, look, I think, you know, Chow Bus is successful when the restaurants are successful, right? Our job out here is to make sure that restaurants are equipped with the right tools and the right information to make sure that they can actually be successful in their business. 2020, as we mentioned, was not a great year for everybody. We did everything that we could to make sure that these businesses had all the resources available and could actually be viable through this year. We're hoping that in 2021, we can also continue to help the businesses thrive, whether it's through food delivery like last year, or through dine-in, with helping them make sure that they're getting enough people indoors when hopefully COVID ends and we can actually be out and about in 2021.
Mm. We'll spend more time next time, Kenny. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it. The COO of Chow Bus, visit chowbus.com. Thanks, Kenny.
Yep, thank you.
Take care now. This is WGN Radio. You're listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Back we go now to Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota.
In President Trump's own Homeland Security Department have concluded that the 2020 election was, quote, the most secure in American history. And if he wants to improve the numbers in his own party that he just mentioned of people believing in our elections, maybe he should start consulting with them. Or maybe he should start consulting with former Attorney General Barr, who said that he has found no evidence of widespread fraud in the 2020 election.
She's speaking on the Senate floor. Each of them get 5 minutes.
My colleague. Senator Cruz knows that 80 judges, including conservative judges, including judges confirmed in this chamber, nominated by President Trump, has thrown out these lawsuits.
Senator Cruz just spoke. And remember, Mitch McConnell spoke prior to that, and he urged Republicans and Democrats to turn back the protest.